Welcome to Our Savior Lutheran's Family Life Podcast. The ministry of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School here in Lansing, Michigan is to serve God's people by offering practical, scriptural ways to learn, live, and share Christ. My name is Dave Wright, and I'm the Minister of Family Life here at Our Savior Lutheran. On the podcast today is my longtime colleague and friend, Matthew Kauser. Matt is the principal of Our Savior Lutheran School. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me this morning, Dave.
Well, Matt, first I want to start out recalling something that is really near and dear to your heart when it comes back to winning. It was the 1998 Valparaiso men's basketball team was a huge underdog in the NCAA tournament to Ole Miss. It was a first-round game, remember right.
It was.
So Valpo is down by two with 2.5 seconds left. You had a pretty good view of what happened next. Talk us through that.
Oh, my goodness. That was a long time ago, 20-plus years ago. Yes, I was a student manager at the time at Valparaiso University, and emphasis on student and then also manager. But serving on the team, I was on the bench during that time, and always amazed at the ability of our players and the commitment they had over the years. And it all came through in the timely moment there with a long pass, a baseball pass. Shout out to Jamie Sykes, and then a Bill Jenkins catch, and a Bryce Drew three-pointer right at the buzzer. And we celebrated and thanked the Lord for that experience. What a blessing that was. Great memories. This time of year in March, it was a joy. Unbelievable.
I watched that again this morning. I saw this young guy in a sharp-looking suit at the end of the bench jumping up and down at the end, and that was you.
Yep. Know your role. So, doing all the other little things to help the team and over those years that I managed, and really were formative for me for what I do now, and also still enjoying the game of basketball, coaching that as well. But so grateful for those memories that you never lose them.
Yeah, I'm still befuddled, Matt. As I remember several years ago, we had a fundraiser here, and you were actually raising some money with every three-point shot that you made in a limited amount of time. And I think you made about 20 out of 25. It was an incredible shooting display. So I'm not too sure that you couldn't have made that shot as well at the end of that game. But
That would have been a lot of pressure, a lot more pressure. But love the game, love to play it.
Yeah, good times for sure. Mm-hmm. Hey, I mentioned that because we're certainly in a time of uncertainty, loss, frustration. And Valpo had the hope of a great sharpshooter, Bryce Drew. But we have the hope of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Matt, how does your faith sustain you through the unknown? And what can you share to the families of our Savior that reminds them of the certain victory to come?
That's a great question. I know as we speak of sharing faith and conveying faith, how important faith is. And whether it be Bryce and others on that team that know Jesus through our staff and faculty that know our team, our community, our Savior Lutheran Church School, and our community that know faith and how that values. In these type of times, I think of what becomes most priority, and that's knowing Jesus and really joining Him on His mission. And that's been instilled in us over these last few years. And over my ministry experience here, God working through me and through others at our Savior. So when it comes down to, sustain us through these uncertain times, it's prayer, self-prayer, and then talking with people, whether it be my wife, our children, whether it be with friends. Thankfully, with technology, we still have ways to connect. And really valuing that right now is a lifeline. So I think really relying on faith at this point in time. And I share with families that we're going to get through this together. And amazing that was our school year theme this year, together, as we learn, live, and share Christ. And now we're doing it in some new ways. I know we'll get into that a little bit. But
talk about that. As the principal of our school, you're certainly leading the charge in the development of new and creative teaching and learning strategies right now. Talk about that. What's happening within instruction and teacher-student interaction?
We have a amazing team of teachers. Again, goes back to team. And I remember communicating to them already Friday morning a week ago and via text and just saying things are going to be different. And we're going to have to come up with some plans today to send home with students, send them home with materials. And they all day long, they not only taught and led their classes and shared faith in their classrooms, knowing the change that was going to happen, but then they also prepared and equipped and but didn't lose sight of the student. I can still envision one of our teachers kneeling down and talking to a student in the hallway who was just probably overcome with some emotion there that Friday morning, the news that we would not be continuing school in the building. And that's exactly what our Father is doing for us, kneeling to us, listening to us. And I think right now when things have kind of settled down and calmed a little bit, that means we can listen to God and maybe even a little more clear without the distractions and know that and be comfortable in that. What's happening with our instruction? We had a Zoom meeting with faculty. Zoom has become our new best friend with online connections and connectivity. And so faculty meeting yesterday kind of looked like the Brady Bunch on my computer screen. But you had all the teachers gathering and sharing as we looked at how to do our mission that's still the same mission of learning, living, sharing Christ, how we teach the Christian faith and develop academic excellence and leadership skills for a life of Christian witness, how we do those three things, but in different methods. And so now the creativity and the joy, even in this challenging circumstances that our teachers are sharing each morning with morning meetings, maybe a video message to their students, it's really special to watch and see it. Each teacher in their own way connect to their families. And that was one of our key things, Dave, was to know that how can our Savior remain connected, touch points to our families. And our teachers have bought into that and see the value in that, and they've been rewarded and very relieved to be able to have those touch points with students, even at times overcome with emotion. That's just how much they care about the students.
It's a dedicated staff for sure. What a blessing we have in those teachers and just a variety of skill sets and creative minds. It's been interesting as well to see the group emails going back and forth with teachers sharing different ideas and things that they would like to try.
Yeah, we really wanted to look at some key components there. Essential learning. What was essential at this time? You go through a school day, and it's all important in all experiences, but what would be essential versus busy work? And looking at quality versus quantity of work, being mindful of this changing situation, and we have a hope that we return April 6th, and we're trusting in the Lord of when it's the right time to re-enter and reconvene. But also not overwhelming families. How do we, we have working parents, we have families that have multiple children, and how to be attentive to that with still where learning can still take place, keep the continued learning experience in a good manner.
Yeah, you mentioned timing. One of the things that I talk with my 7th grade Christian studies class about is the second article of the Apostles' Creed. And we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ and who he is, what he did, what he continues to do for us. And we find in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, these words. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. The part that is interesting is when the time had fully come. There were some things in that part of the world that had taken place which really made the timing of Christ's ministry perfect. His entrance into the world, just the exact right time in history. For example, Roman rule made sure that there were roads developed, which made travel easier than it had ever been before. And this made it possible for the Jews to be scattered everywhere. And finally, Greek was the universal language of the time. And all of this combined together to make the spread of the gospel far easier than it had ever been possible before. God put into place practical tools at that time so that the spread of the gospel just could really take off. And Matt, I can't help but think that today, you know, the timing has never been better technology-wise for many, not all, but many people to be able to work from home and for online learning to take place. You know, you and I, when we were kids, had this pandemic happened, we didn't have the tools at that time to be able to do some of the things we're doing now. Matt, what are some of your favorite ways to utilize technology for classroom instruction, for growing in faith, or just productivity in general?
Yeah, as you referenced Galatians, I think of Acts chapter 8 and just reading a little bit about how at that time Christians were, forced to isolate, to separate, and scatter is a good term. And in that passage, as Paul writes, he shares, that was the opportunity for Christians to rise up and Christians to step in and live out their faith in small groups, in small pods of people. And I guess that's where, when I use technology now, I'll get a message, a text message from pastor of a scripture passage, and that's just a relief to me that maybe there's a reason, a time, and a place for receiving something like that. My Bible Vision app, I know that I have that available, and it reminds me if I've checked in during the day or not, just to even read a passage, to be reminded of God's love and the hope we have in Jesus. I know that through technology and sharing with our children, being able to worship together, what an amazing service, that first Lenten service online, live stream, this past Wednesday, and to remember and hear the experience of the fiery furnace. And I'll use my Pastor Kamalo voice, the fiery furnace, where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were all there, and how they were in that furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, and lo and behold, the king looks in, and they are dancing and praising, and there's a fourth person, there's Jesus present, the Holy Spirit that just blessed them in that time to not laugh fear in the face, but to acknowledge that there's one of greater power, one of greater love, and to know that. And so using technology with live stream will be valuable for our classroom and for our teachers. They're finding creative and ways to use platforms of Facebook and Google Classrooms, private groups for Facebook. And I'm seeing teachers in their classrooms navigating through their hallways of their home and in their living room and recording videos and doing their picture Miss Berg or Miss Diarmin doing their morning meeting, and just like Mr. Rogers, writing down a few items, good morning class, and gain some terms, and to see these type of, see how technology can still have that connection, and for children to see their teacher's face and to hear their teacher's voice. We know that that's a pivotal experience as we pivot learning from the traditional sense, if you will, to online remote learning, digital learning. It doesn't fully replace learning where it's best, face to face, person to person, but it is a supplement, and for the time being, it's best used. And that's where we look forward to returning together.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that some of our teachers are kind of bringing their students into their own homes. So ironically, in some ways, our families are getting to know our teachers in new and better ways than they ever had before.
Well, yeah, you have to be. I'm learning tech etiquette, especially video etiquette. You know, what's behind me, my children playing around me, moving the piles off to the side so people can't see all that's there. There's a plethora of options, and praise the Lord for this. There are so many organizations and educational opportunities that have been released and made available during this change of time, where students can access museums online, And some of these things might have been already present. We just didn't have the time or the need to use them. But now, as we're kind of confined, and appropriately so, for the health and well-being of our communities, those opportunities, you know, Scholastic to Michigan Virtual Academy, Zoom, it's opened up access to teachers to host class meetings. In fact, I'll be getting a text here from my son to get back home and make sure he can log in to meet up with all his students. And to see that happening, to see, you know, these heads of children pop up in the screen and with their teacher, and it's kind of like herding cats. They're all over. They're excited. They're, you know, they're connected. But that's just some joy that's brought to them during some hardship times right now.
Such a positive outlook that you've got, and you know, that's appreciated. And you know, people look to you and just see the way that you're excited about the new opportunities that we have through this.
It's going to be, I think it'll only make us as better teachers, better educators, and more known as we work through this. And this is temporary. You know, talking to pastor and other leaders in our church and school and our communities, I mean, temporary might mean a month. It might mean a couple months. But it's temporary, and we can still think of what life will be like. I appreciate those things shared by our government leaders, knowing that we're going to get through this together as well, that same message.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Matt, what's this week been like for you personally? What have you been up to? Just a brief kind of overview of your week.
I'm delegating, and delegating in the home. So I'm asking my children and showing them to make sure they know how to empty the dishwasher and where to put the detergent. Little things like that, some life skills at the house, you know, giving them the responsibility, not just for their chores, but to make sure they're attentive in doing those things right, knowing that they'll then in return, they'll become good roommates, good spouses, and leaders for their family. So yeah, delegating in the home, been busy with, looking over the shoulder and seeing their schoolwork, because just as much as we're creating learning opportunities, I give a lot of credit to parents who have committed, and even if it's just a little bit, even if their work schedules isn't allowing, that they're just giving that little bit of time just to see the math problem or read a story. I've been on Facebook probably a little more than I would like, but that's just more scanning to see what all is happening in ministry and looking for those God sightings. Hmm.
Sure, interesting with some of our families. It's this whole process this week is reinforced for some that, we're not a homeschool type of family.
Yeah.
And for others, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, you know what? Mm-hmm. We could do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it varies. And I think, you know, as a faculty, we'll be looking at, you know, what reentry looks like and what when we return in the spectrum of learning that always is existing with different gifts and abilities in students. But that's there's potential there to work through those things. You know, some of the things I would like to do yet is I want to see if we can find some Legos and do some Lego building and maybe create some movies in the home. Those are some ideas for families to get connected.
That sounds fun.
Even Duolingo, I could start speaking in French if I go to that Duolingo app and try a different language and just some simple components just to stimulate the mind and keep the TV off. I was able to watch a little bit of Major League Baseball and Mark Friedrich the other night. With my children, so I was
really
showing the
cool
boys, you know, who Mark Friedrich is, and just his personality, going and shaking hands of the umpire and his teammates after a play or at the end of the game. What a great example of sportsmanship and hearing his story and how he loved life and loved others and was really you know, a congenial, very respectful man and ball player.
Interesting example of 40 plus years ago now.
Yeah.
And, you know, having the time to have your kids be able to
revisit that.
Yeah, revisit that. Definitely. Matt, many families are changing, you know, spring break plans. They're canceling trips to Florida or to Disney. And many high school athletes are missing the end of their winter sport or the cancellation completely of spring sports. And it's disappointing. To many people.
No doubt. Yeah.
How do you handle disappointments like that? And what would you share with our listeners who are trying to teach their children how to handle disappointments when they happen in life?
Oh, my. Disappointments. in just seeing how my family, we love March Madness. Love March Madness. And to hear my son refer to it as March Sadness this week.
Oh, no.
Just one of those elements. And I think finding some humor in it to me, being too sarcastic with the humor, but finding humor in those moments gives some relief and can bring some joy. But with the disappointment, I know our family, we were looking at an excursion for this spring break that's upcoming. And boy, we're definitely going to need the break. I mean, we're going to need the break, but it's just going to look a lot different than what we had planned. And I guess that's where trying to remain rooted in faith, going back to his word. I remember teaching in fifth grade and talking about the manna and the falling from the sky and people hoarding it, trying to save it, and that was not the Lord's command. The Lord's command was to use and care for that, use only what you need for that day. And so often, that trip was something we were hoarding, something we were desiring and wanting, and I don't think we made it an idol, thankfully not. But at the same time, that disappointment, knowing that there's a time and place for everything. Going back to Ecclesiastes chapter, was it 3 or 4? I can't recall right off the top, but going back to a time and place, knowing that the Lord will prevail, and in his timing, those experiences will happen. Are we going to have more spring breaks to come? Absolutely. Maybe that means my wife and I carefully look at a plan for summer when we are able to have travel. And make sure we make the best of that. I saw an image on Facebook, of course, of a couple who missed out on their cruise, and there they are with some TV screen, their toes right up to the screen, and in their with their drinks and their towels and such, and so makeshift excursion. And I think that's the type of outlook to have.
They're still together.
Yeah, they're still together,
and you're together with your family and. That's what it's all about, really, when you step back and take a vacation, being together with family.
Whether it be online, visiting some, I heard Disney has some things online where you can experience the rides, museums, again, to visit online. So we're going to make the best of it, and because the Lord makes the best of us as he shapes us and molds us.
Excellent. That last day that we had classes last week, you shared a neat message with our student body, and you did use that video replay of the Bryce Drew last-second shot that you referenced in part of your message. That moment never gets old, does it?
No, no. And then the neat thing was Mackenzie Drinnen, our middle school teacher, had asked, how that all developed was, at the end of the day, we knew this would be the last day for 3 weeks, 2 weeks of no school, and then a spring break requested and abiding by the Michigan government, governor. And so we decided to have a closing, if you will, chapel and assembly, and to know that we would be sending out our students with a blessing, knowing that we would return. And at that point in time, it was strange because I knew that not all students or teachers or staff, including me, really knew what this moment was going to be, because it would be our last moment for a while, and that's the key, for a while. And so to gather like that, to worship, Ms. Drinnen had a song that she had prepared for our chapel the following week, which we already posted on our Facebook page for this week, Every Giant Will Fall, and that's what hit me. It was like, in this particular Valpo game, yes, it was David versus Goliath, a 4 seed versus a 13 seed Valparaiso, but then it's more than winning and losing. And I hear as a global world, we're trying to combat this virus and to win it, but I think it's more than that. I think it's, again, that goes back to that togetherness and what's most important. And whether that be with the David and Goliath experience, sharing that message in that closing assembly, that the embrace we have with our Father, and you saw that through a good solid hug of the son who hit the winning shot, and the coach, the father, embracing him. And we see that through our Father every day in heaven, embracing us and carrying us through some tough situations, whether it be a loss of family member or death, whether it be a loss of a job or an opportunity. And yet the Lord carries us through. And that was the message I wanted to impart to our students and our community.
Well said. Matt, would you leave us with a blessing? Maybe a blessing in particular to the Our Savior Lutheran school families.
Yes. Know that we have our faith, our hope, our love in Christ is at the heart of our families and our ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the commitment of our staff and their dedication and their love of you, Lord, that's now radiant through their experiences of new ministry and methods here at Our Savior. And for our Lutheran schools and Christian schools, and even all with our public schools, those connectivities that will come, Lord, may those relationships be strengthened even in a tech-supported experience. Lord, for our families, that you would wrap your arms around them and guide them, first of all, Lord, for their health, that you would give them strength and courage and protect them from the virus. And for those that have been stricken and are ill, Lord, that you would comfort them and if it be your will, heal them. And Lord, allow this opportunity to be a reset for us to focus on what is valuable and important in our lives. Lord, for those who are employers and employees who are either struggling to make things work, that there would be peace and comfort, and they'd look to you. They would look up, Lord, to you and trust in your plan. Lord, for those in the medical field that are responders on our streets and in our communities, in the hospitals and the makeshift hospitals and around the country and around the world, Lord, that you would protect them and give them the endurance to care as you have called them to be at this time in this place, caretakers for your people. Lord, we ask also that you would bring us through this experience. We trust in you. We know that you have the plan. And we rely fully on you, fully rely on God as we frog through that experience. Lord, trust in you. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen.
Amen. Matt, thanks for taking the time to share words of encouragement. Your faith, your optimism, your service to others is so very much appreciated.
It's a pleasure to serve here, and I thank the Lord every day for it. Thanks, Dave. This is fun.
Thanks, Matt. I'm Dave Wright. This has been Our Savior's Family Life Podcast. We hope you'll check out future podcasts on our website, which is oursaviorlansing.org. Click on Media, and it will take you to the OSL Family Life Podcasts, as well as our archived sermons. I wish you God's peace as you learn, live, and share Christ. Take care.